Wait, wait, stop. That's the one.
Welcome to Zenten Speaks, a show where I make new friends and reconnect with old ones. A show where everyone's stories may inspire you to tell your own story. In this podcast, we encourage everyone to get rid of shame, guilt, fear, doubt, and judgments for themselves and for others, and replace those with love, empathy, compassion, understanding, kindness, and to do your best in everything that you do. In essence, to get rid of things that no longer serve your well-being, to be true to yourself and be honest with others.
You know, what's beautiful is once you pop out of it, once you pop out of this suppression, and you allow yourself to go down the road, the wrong road. What the beautiful thing now is, now I can look at a beautiful woman or a sexy woman and say, she's sexy or beautiful, but I don't feel like I'm out of control. Like I'm looking for the minute that I can talk to her. And, you know, like the witnesses had it, you know, you remember, I don't know if you remember the Paradise book, the guy had his wife's hand and he's looking at the woman in the short skirt because there's so much suppression.
Right.
And so there's just something about that suppression, I think, that makes people out of control. And,
yes.
And you know, I went out of control when I got out of there after 20 some years. You know, I went out of control and just went down some crazy roads. And it was because I never got, you know, my dad, I kissed a girl one day saying goodbye to her. And my dad came down the road, had to have been 40 miles an hour, slid the car bumper all the way down to my hip and said, "Get in here, boy." He grabs me by the hair, pulls me in the car. "Don't you kiss that girl." Normal sexual desire repressed. What am I going to do? I'm going into hiding. I'm going to the porn shop. I'm going into the place where nobody can find me. And then I'm going to be guilty and feel like shit. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's like a horror story.
It hurt people, hurt people. I wanted to study the person who are guilty of the, maybe the murder or the sex trafficking, all this stuff. Cause I wanted to understand, just like a Silence of the Lambs movie, understand where they're coming from, like what's their trauma, what's their childhood, and why do they do certain things. And what, as I, because I like watching those things on YouTube, and it's when they always go to their childhood, is often some childhood trauma and how they're being suppressed and how everyone just discard their emotion, discard them as human being, and then they become this disgusting thing that society don't want, but society bred, knowing it or not. And the religion is doing the same thing. They're breeding. It's a breeding ground for all of this gross stuff. And it's saying, oh, if you do it, you are Satan anyway. And without taking responsibility to basically educate people. Because my dad, I had memories of like when I used to have wet dreams up until like in my 20s, because I didn't know what these were until girls would tell me what wet dreams were, and I felt really stupid. I was like, really, how could I not know that? And that's like prior to Google too, so I couldn't learn. So my dad, I remember one time, because I would getting them a lot in my underwear or whatever, and then I went to my dad and he told me it was Elmer's glue. it was like this, and I believed him, and I told a girl that in my 20s, and she laughed at me. She was like, "Don't tell anybody that. That's the stupidest thing."
Oh my God.
And I couldn't believe, why can't you educate somebody instead of like lying to them? Like, because if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it the wrong way. If you educate me and I have the choice to do it the right way, or if I could choose to do it the wrong anyway, at least I'll know. But if I do it like as a robot the wrong way, get someone pregnant or rape somebody or molest somebody or kill somebody, because I didn't know. And I remember another episode where, because I think my sisters were playing in the window, and I was like, I've seen a cat, you know, like cats or dogs humping things. I was humping the couch. And and I screamed, "Oh my God, I'm peeing myself. I'm peeing myself." but I was ejaculating.
Yeah.
And I had no idea what that was. And I was just like, oh, it's not pee. And as an adult, I'm thinking these things. And I was just like, are you effing kidding me? How they're saving you from all these human things, but they're doing harm.
Service. Yes. Yeah, just service.
Can I say something along that line? I gotta tell you something. Sorry. Yeah, yeah. This is a conundrum. It's what you're talking about, getting really thinking you're crazy. I went to the elders and told them I was masturbating. And against the wishes of my friends, they're like, Dan, don't
tell them.
Don't go in there. Don't tell them. I said, no, it says the one that's sinning needs to go to the elders and tell the elders. Do you know, Zen, I went in before three elders. Some of them I think were 30, 40, maybe 50. And their glasses dropped down and they looked at me and they said, Brother Clark, it's obvious you're entertaining wrong thoughts. And I said, well, I'm not actually trying to entertain wrong thoughts. They just come in, you know, somehow I think of things and things happen. Obviously, you're entertaining wrong thoughts. And if you cannot control your thoughts, we're going to have to remove you from your ministerial servant. Or I think I was just reading the Watchtower at that time. And I was like, whoa. And so they brought out a big calendar. They brought out a big calendar. And they said, we're going to put an X on the calendar here, Dan. And we're going to start today, and we want you to come back next week and tell us how you did. Can you imagine? So I come back next week, and I said, well, it wasn't that good. I didn't tell them how bad it was, but you know what I'm saying? I said, well, you know, I slipped up a couple more times, and your glasses dropped down, and they're like, so you're still entertaining wrong thoughts, Brother Clark. Well, we're going to have to remove you from your Watchtower reading and the sound and the mic handling. I'm like, okay. And they said, and if it happens again, see black and white law, legalism. And I'm like, okay. And so I went to see him again after that. And they said, we're going to do an announcement that you have conduct on becoming a Christian and we're going to put you on public reproof. And I said, okay. So they put me on public reproof. Now here's where the mental illness comes in. What are you going to do? One, you think you're part of Satan's world. You can't get control of this thing. They obviously all have control. Not one of them said I did the same damn thing. Not one of them.
Or that I struggled.
None of them were honest with me. And I'll tell you something, Zen. We did a television show and we blew their asses out of the water. It was called Are You Too Crazy for God? And I said, when are you pastors going to get real? When are you going to tell people you've done it and you're still doing it? And boy, they come out and they turned off all the cameras. It was on a big show called what? Cherie Peters, Are You Too Crazy for God?
No, it was Celebrating Life and Recovery.
Oh, Sin, if you have a link, I would love to watch that.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? They shut it off and they shut it off and they said, we can't play this. And then I said, I went to a woman and talked to her about it. Turn off the cameras. And they turned off the cameras again. And they said, you can't go to a woman. I said, well, what man has got the balls to say they do it too, or they still struggle with it, or they're human? And boy, they kept turning the camera off. So we didn't know if they were going to play it. We went down to Illinois. And they played it. They put a PG-13 on it. They said the only
first
way
time ever.
First time ever. They said, we'll play it. We'll put a PG-13 on it. It was the most watched television show that was ever played on their network. And they knew us everywhere. It was called 3ABN. And it was the most watched thing because it was real. And that was the problem. And that's why I hurt. Because what happened after that, even before that, when I was young, my dad would never talk about it. So I'd ask the neighbors. I'd say, what's this thing going on? Well, you're homosexual. You're gay. I am. Yeah. You know, they'd be joking, but I was like, am I gay?
Maybe not.
Am I gay? Is something wrong with me? And then I was like, well, I must be demon possessed. Now, see, this is where the mental illness comes in, Zen. This is where the mental illness comes in, because who's going to rescue you from this mind, from this body that keeps wanting food, right? It's kind of like food you eat, right? You get an appetite again. Well, it's the same with sexual desire. It comes up again. And you think, I'm possessed. So I did really believe at one point I was possessed by Satan, that I was just the devil incarnate because I masturbated.
Well, and also too, so am I understanding this right? That if you guys in that religion, if a man and a woman had oral sex, it was considered homosexuality?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's crazy. That's insane. But you know, can you imagine you feel like you're part of Satan's world because you're homosexual in that church too, right? So there's more shame, more guilt. You know, I can't help but think about Paul. He said this because, you know, it's not always as it seems in there. Dan and I came across a book called The Aquarian Gospels of Jesus the Christ. Really interesting book, because what it becomes obvious is that somebody took chunks right out of the Bible, chunks, which made it have a different meaning. Because there's some things missing. It's kind of like someone telling a story and they're going to tell you part of it. Well, it's going to give you a whole different idea what happened in that thing. And you're going to come up with a different conclusion. It's obvious that they left these things out, and it just paints a completely different picture. But one of the things that Paul said was that he was speaking to, he said, you young, and I'm speaking to you young men. And I'm sure he was older, so he's speaking to 50 and 60 year olds, right? And he's saying, I speak to you young men who have overcome your battle with the devil. And so it's like, okay, so they had to go through this process of overcoming their flesh, right? You know what I mean? Because he said he battled with it. He said, you know, this flesh that when I wish to do right, this bad is present with me. And I can't stop myself, right? But he did overcome it. And he was saying, I'm speaking to you, young men. Now I overcame my battle. And now I'm speaking to you who have overcome your battle. So, you know, to me, the right way is that you realize you're going to have these emotions, these feelings, these sexual desires. And you're taught that, you know, your goal is to, when you see a woman and she's beautiful, you acknowledge that she's beautiful. You don't deny it. You acknowledge what you see, but then you say, you know what? I am not going, I'm sorry, here comes the thought, sure enough, right straight from the enemy, that I want to screw that girl, right? And so instead you say, no, I'm not going to entertain that anymore. Done, finished, get behind me, Satan. I'm not going to entertain this. And the better you get at that, the more you have mastery, and eventually you don't have that trouble anymore. You have it under control. And maybe that's going to take until you're 50 or 60. I don't know when that actually you overcome it once and for all, but you turn away and refuse to entertain the thoughts. That's the ideal, but no one teaches that. Do you remember ever hearing that in any church, anywhere, anytime? I don't.
That's why the grace had to come in, because left with the law, it's black and white. And there's a million shades. Like you said, some kids were masturbating at 8 years old and you, it was 20, you know, so it's different for everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. And maybe those kids were even abused and that's why they had attention to those parts. Just saying. But, you know.
Those things came up for me, like, because naturally as a male body, when there's enough buildup, and I had to learn that in science, enough buildup, it rejected itself. And so... Right. I was in confusion. I didn't know what that was either. And it's like, but if I knew, then I would know. Since I didn't know, I could have examined. This is why I have empathy. Well, I revere everyone anyway. I love everybody and respect everybody. But this is why I have interest of the black sheep of society or the people who've done bad or the victims, because I have genuine interest to understand like why they do certain things. And some people who have compulsive, they remorse it, but they feel like they can't help it because there's probably some history there. And I'm grateful, like I have a great life. I don't have those things happening, but I can see where it's potentially, let's say, since I was a robot, I was like brain dead. I could say even, since I didn't know any of these things, I could have been the rapist who see a woman and just do something, and just because I've watched things on YouTube where the rapists feel like nothing is wrong. And I want to understand why they feel that way, or the killer or someone who molests different children. They go like, I don't see anything wrong there. I want to understand like where that's coming from, because I've noticed where I didn't know anything and I could have done something bad and not have the connection of saying it was wrong because I didn't know any of it.
Yeah. What if you tell yourself you're evil long enough?
Evil?
Evil. What if you say, well, I must be evil? That's what I did. I said I was
society
evil.
Society tell me that too, so I'm going to play that. Yeah. Actually, I was in a group. They didn't kick me out, but I like to post things that are, how you call it, have people think and have a dialogue. And a lot of people were getting offended, especially with the vaccine part stuff too. And someone were, and then they wanted to interview me to understand me. So we had a 2-hour interview, and someone asked me, like, why do I, someone asked about being troll. And I was saying, you know what, at some, I was just want to have a conversation. But nowadays, if you bring something up, because there's left and right, and there's this and that, and skin color, and all this drama, people, you cannot ask questions anymore without being put in a box that you're good or bad. So therefore, I started playing the troll game, because that's what people saw me as. And they started to get engaged in the troll game, because I was the one posting things they didn't like, and then they had to go in the comments to talk about it anyway. And I fell into that game, and I'm not proud of that. I didn't like it, actually. But I was like, oh, that's the only way I can actually have a dialogue. Because when I posted in the beginning, like asking questions, people were just like dismissing it. They're like, oh, you left or right, or you don't like the vaccine or this and that. And they were just dismissive. But I kind of like felt, knew where their buttons were. So I played into the being a troll. Like, I don't know if you know what that term is. Like,
yeah, online, yeah, we do. Yep.
And I, after that interview, and I said, I promise I'm done doing that. And I don't even post on my, I'm not posting on my wall anymore either, because I've learned from that experience. And I said, I don't want to be that. And I don't want to, like you were mentioned, like if society is saying you're evil, you're bad, and they keep beating you down, and then you accept it being what they want.
Guess what you become? Evil. I mean, if I can't get control of this thing, then Satan's got me. So I know a guy that studied, and he was kind of a wild kind of a guy, and he didn't get kind of control of himself yet. He said, I've chose Satan. And it was because we said he chose Satan. Well, you've chose Satan. And this guy was mean. Cops could beat him over the head with clubs. I mean, he took my fist one day and said, beat me. I'm from the devil. But you know, I was going that route. When I went to those elders and they said, well, you know, Dan, you're just entertaining wrong thoughts. Well, I must be part of Satan's world then. I'm not part of this clean, whatever this projection is. And what it's interesting, it wasn't real, but I was buying into it. You said it. They're creating the monsters. They were making me a monster. Something that God put in me said, become fruitful, become many. Here's what a lady did. I went to this lady and she said, what's wrong with you, Dan? She said, you're stiff. You can't move your legs. You can't move your hands. What's wrong with you?
I said,
I can't tell you. She said, damn it. You can tell me. I've either done it or thought about doing it. Tell me what. Yeah. And I says, okay, I'll tell you. And she goes, what? And I go, I'm a pervert. And she goes, okay, all right. Let's go down to Barnes & Noble and let's go get some books on it. What's wrong? Are you sexually addicted? Yeah, I'm really messed up. So she goes down. This is a true story. The lady bought $100 worth of books. And she goes, are you ready to start and go through this journey and get yourself all unfreed? And I'm looking at the lady and she goes, will you tell me what the hell's wrong with you? And I says, I masturbate. And she goes, let's go back to Barnes and Noble.
Laughing.
And she goes, are you serious? Like you masturbate? And I said, yeah. She goes, okay, we don't need all these pedophile, you know, all these books. They weren't pedophile books, but they were, you know, sex addicted books or whatever.
Pervert.
Yeah, yeah. She said, let's take these back. And she handed me a tape by Father Keating at St. Benedict's Monastery. And it was an 80-year-old guy. He's dead now. And he goes, could you imagine being in a 20-year-old body and told that everything that was happening to you was not of God, that God put this desire in you? Can you imagine what kind of freak you would be, how you would be at enmity with yourself? Right then I was set free. Right then I was set free. I go, oh my God, God put this desire that I'm binding down. And you know what? It's like you said, Zan, I was moving into the altered reality of Jehovah's Witnesses. Like when you leave, you're an apostate, you're bad, you're throwaway, you're pig, went to the pigs. I was condemning myself, going to these brothers who wouldn't admit they were doing it or had done it, and condemning myself to hell. And it was all happening in my head. And I had so much suffering being in the Jehovah's Witnesses. Christianity, same thing. A lot of it is you belong in Celebrate Recovery. That's where you belong. There's people like you there that are struggling with yourself and masturbation. Yeah, go there. We had a teacher in there one time who says, I'm so glad I'm not like you guys. I feel so sorry for you people in here. I've never had that problem. I have a good...
Man,
we wanted to beat him. We wanted to beat him to death. And because... people that aren't honest and can't be transparent and can't share, how the hell do you expect some kid? You know, imagine if you sat down with a kid, he came to you, say you were an elder, and you said, hey, man, it's a long road. This, whoo, what God put into us is really powerful. And it takes some time. Actually, you got to get a hold of this wild beast. It's kind of, it'll kind of take you over for a while, but it's okay. We've all done it. We've all been down the roads. We've all done all the things that you're thinking about or haven't done, but my prayers are with you. And I hope you can gain mastery over this thing, but boy, it's a rough thing. But you imagine the validation for that boy to not feel he's a bad satanic weirdo freak, you know,
and same in my religion too. They never talked about your body, how it's going to react. I barely got told that I was going to have a period. And I didn't learn anything about the birds and the bees whatsoever. I didn't even know that women have a liquid that comes from their bodies when they have sex with a man until I was about 55. Yeah, that's when I discovered that. That's crazy. I mean, to not know these things about your body, you know what I mean? And I wanted to tell you something. I worked in the jail, I told you, and I got to work with the juveniles. So the kids that were under 18. And this kid was in there and he was like expressing himself saying, you know, I don't really understand why I'm in here. And, you know, I'm in trouble for this and this. Well, come to find out. So then he shares that his parents, he was born in a drug house. They had done nothing but do drugs in this drug house with lots of other people. And all they did all day long was go out into the streets and steal. And then they came back and they, you know, had money for their drugs and they did whatever to get their drugs, did the drugs. And then they'd repeat every day was the same thing. He was born into drug addiction and he was an addict and he was stealing. And so he's in jail, not knowing what he had done wrong. He's real young. And he honestly, honest to God, did not know what he had done wrong because he never had known any other way of being in this world. And I just thought, oh, you poor, poor thing. He was just baffled. He had just gotten in there and he just couldn't understand it, what he had done. Right. And I thought, oh my God, to think of that, you just had never known any other way. So let's say you were born into a drug house and all you ever saw was your father raping women one after the other, day after day. Just say, or that he did boys, or I don't know, whatever. You would probably think that was normal. Yeah. And I don't know, it breaks my heart that there's so much, you know, they've created it, but then they're going to call you a freak or bad or Satan's or whatever, when the truth is it just couldn't have been any other way. And that's why, you know, when they talk on the six streams, people will sometimes say on there, they really will come down hard on pedophiles and sex addicts and whatnot. And I'm going to tell you, honestly, I cannot hold back. But I always have to say something about it. It's like, you know, if they were made to be that way by these Jehovah's Witnesses, then to me, my heart just goes out in the biggest way. And if my heart goes out in the biggest way, I absolutely feel like God's does too. And I think that if you cry out to him, honestly, that he will fix it. I've seen it where God has fixed it. And so I don't think anyone's ever hopeless, and I don't ever think of anyone as being not capable of fixing whatever ails them or whatever has made them weak or whatever has made them a pervert or whatever it is. God is able to fix it. He's in the fixing business.
That's what I loved about my spiritual teacher. She always said, this is going to be fun. Yeah, let's do this together. And I was like, really? Like, I'm not a throwaway? Oh my God, let's find out who you are. It was beautiful.
Yeah, even her thinking that he was a pervert, you know, it was like, yeah, let's go get books. Let's get this fixed. You know, that was her way of looking at it. And see, she didn't even look at it like someone who does things that a society thinks that you should be in prison for is permanent. I really don't. I think society says that because they have these words that say that if you do that, then it's you're so minor, 1% likely to ever, you know, stop doing that. And so you're permanently a pervert. It's like, you know what? screw you, I don't believe that. And the only reason why they believe that is because you told them that. How about you quit telling them that? How about you tell them that there is a way? We need to get on our knees every day and we need to cry out to God. And together we will see God change your heart, your mind, heal, cleanse, do whatever, and you will be whole again. Don't worry. And how about if we taught them that every single day? How about if we sang and prayed and loved on them and hugged them and told them that they were good and we accept them and we forgive them? And don't worry, God forgives you too. Just the way you are. What if we told them that? How about we would have some results? But if you tell somebody that they're good for nothing slaves every day of their freaking life, what do you freaking think they're going to be? Good for nothing slaves. And your boss doesn't even call you that. If you went to work and your boss told you you're good for nothing, servant in your job, you would quit. But we go to church with our leaders and they tell us we're good for nothing slaves.
She never forgot that.
And we don't quit. Why? We don't allow our bosses to treat us that way, but we allow our parents to treat us that way and our elders to treat us that way. Servants of God, it's a tragedy and a travesty, and it's beyond not okay. Sorry.
So, no, this has been a wonderful conversation. So we have 2 minutes. If each of us can tell the audience, your work is beautiful. And as I learned in the last 24 hours, and I'm especially watching, I started watching your YouTube channel so I can learn more. And I'm going to go on a playlist because I'm very excited about that, because I love to watch anything that's feeding my soul, feeding me, instead of watching stupid TikTok things that don't do anything good for me. So I'm excited. And thank you for your service. Please tell us why your work is important and where someone can find you. And each of you can tell me.
Okay. Well, I think it's important for you to feel encouragement when you feel down. And I can do that through music and food and through inspirational talks or quotes and all of that kind of thing. I'm redeveloping my website because it got hacked and it got completely destroyed. Very discouraging. But anyway, it's called angelasinspirations.com. And you can go on there. I'm going to get really active now that it's almost put back together and start really putting it out there that people can feel some hope. I want to bring hope. That's my whole thing, and encouragement. So that's important. And music feeds our souls and it heals. And it's important that we remember that music is the way that we find a lot of inspiration and peace and calm and hope. And there's words in there. They mean something. If we start learning how to use music to comfort us again, there will be a lot of healing, but a lot of us have not been doing music that's good for us, at least. And it's important that we get back to that. So that's fine.
Yep. And mine's similar. It's if you're a Jehovah's Witness and you're trying to come out, you'll want to go to my YouTube channel, Life After Religion. And there's 130 videos on there. They go back probably 10 years. And it's the way I talk now. It's the same thing. It's experiential. It's real. And if you need to heal from Watchtower, you'll be validated. If you want to find out who you are deep down, who you are beyond the belief systems, beyond the projected reality of who we think we are out here playing around, then you'll want to go to my site, prodigaljourneys.com, www.prodigaljourneys.com. And that has the books in there, The Eyewitness, The Journey Out, The Surrender, and The Prodigal, or The Divine Order of Alchemy. And that really digs down to who you are beyond the belief systems and the potential. That's the main thing. I saw potential robbed from my dad and mom, and I saw it robbed from me for 40 years. And what I've done in the minuscule years that I've had after Watchtower is amazing. And I want to say your life is waiting for you. The best is yet to come. This is just a chapter. The witnesses or this phase of your life is only a chapter. The best is yet to come. The best,
amen,
the best.
Amen. And can I just say one more thing? I've written a book called Awakening from Unconscious Resentment. It has to do with the saboteurs that we have in our life. Oh. So I'm big into teaching codependency, and I'm going to be getting doing chapter after, and getting your voice is really important. Learning how to say no, learning how to kiss, self-care, love yourself, all these things. Louise Hay kind of twist to it for sure. But on my side, I'm going to be talking this year about the different chapters in my book and going through this, all this stuff about, you know, what we should have learned in school and through our parents and in our churches about how to live and be in communication with ourselves, with our God, with our people, with our churches, with in right way, in a right way that we stand up for ourselves, that we say when we don't really want to do something, we're honest and we say, I'm sorry, but I don't feel that that's something I should be doing. And we're true to ourselves, and learning how to do that is something we haven't been taught. But if we don't learn it, we get into resentment. And that's why my book's called that. And we must overcome this resentment by being true to ourselves, to what we believe we should and shouldn't do, and what we're not okay with, and learning how to be with people so that we know how to stand up for ourselves. It's very important. So I'm going to be talking about that this year and really trying to help people to find peace in their lives for once in their lives, because once you know the rules and you've got the tools, that's what we didn't get. But we've got to have these tools. And so I'm going to give them out. So anyway, I'm excited about that this year. And then our movies.
I'm excited to hear it too. Are you going to do YouTube videos or just on your
YouTube for sure. And Facebook Lives, both. I'm going to do both.
Nice. And Facebook Live through a group or through your...
I've got a couple of Facebook pages.
You can send me those.
Yep. Yeah. And one's called The Art of Healthy Relationships. That's going to be the one I'm going to post all this stuff on. But then I have an X Worldwide Truth Seekers, which is for my church. I haven't really done much in that, but I post good stuff in there from other people, trying to get caught back up to speed on that. And then there's another one, it's called Truth Beyond the Veil. So I put a lot of controversial stuff on that Facebook page that is just, you know, I try to be very careful to put stuff I really, really believe in. Sometimes I get a little bit wrong, but it's important to me that we go outside of the box to face what we need to face. And even though we don't believe in it right now, but we're willing to go outside of the box. So I stretch people a little bit in there, and definitely controversial things that are on that page. But I think it's important to put out the truth beyond the veil. The veil is our own veils that we have, because I don't want to see that. I don't want to know that. I don't want to study that. I don't believe that for not any reason that we've come up with, just because everybody else is telling us that's how we should believe. So I'm trying to get them to go beyond what everyone else is saying, and face what you got to face. And so once you come out of the veil, like we all have here, and we face some truths, then I feel obligated to help other people to try to consider at least coming out of the veil and look at some things you haven't really thought about before, and just listen to it. You don't have to believe it. Just listen to it. And, you know, I find that sometimes years later, things people have told me, I rejected it at the time. And 5 years later, I'm actually believing it wholeheartedly where I rejected it thoroughly at the time. So we have to be willing to come out of our darkness and see the truth. So I'm excited about that Facebook page too. And YouTube, I have YouTubes for most of those. So.
Awesome. Is any of it on audio, possibly your books?
No, but I will be doing that. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, same with you, Dan. Any audio? Yeah.
Not yet.
Especially Eyewitness. I want him to do the Eyewitness.
Yeah. There's one on audio called Grace by Miracles Prospering in Times of Uncertainty. And it's the subtitle's Grace Can Move Like a Feather, What Would Otherwise Be Impossible for the Mind. And it has to do with some of Hawkins' work, where when you push, there's pushback. Mm-hmm. But when you live from isness in the present moment, you have power, just like the sun coming up. It's pure power.
You know,
it's
what's not interesting? Forced. I don't think we have that on Amazon, and we need to get it on Amazon.
Yeah.
We will get it on Amazon.
Yeah, and we want to, at some point too, we want to mention, not on this show, but about denial. You got it. Mm-hmm. We got to come out of denial. If our lives are shit, we feel horrible. We've got to acknowledge it and look at it. And if we do, that moves us into a new direction. Part of the reason witnesses stay there so long is they're in denial.
A lot of them. Yeah, speaking to many people, and it's mind blowing for me how I spoke to someone who's 55 years later, and they just woke up to it. And like you're saying, like there's a theme of denial. They were in confusion for a long time, but they kept saying that there is a thing that says, how about if it's the truth? How about if it's the truth? So, because if you leave, then if it's the truth, then a bargaining happened, then you wasted all your years. Or it's like, yes, I call it a narcissist relationship, because you're still in that relationship because, let's say, if the narcissist took all your money and you get rid of your friends like the witnesses do, and then you can't go to college. They say, stay home, take care of the kids. How about if I leave? I'm going to be homeless. How about if I leave? A man's not going to take care of me and all this stuff. And it's like the same business of like mind control and controlling somebody. So thank you again, both of you. This was beautiful and wonderful. And every interview, I come in an open mind and just like, and one thing I do is beside what you send me, I don't go in anyone's pages to look at anything more than what they send me, because I like to be non-biased and talk to people as I'm talking to you. And I love the ability of you and other guests and as me talking to each other. We're literally, and people who don't know that, they could know it, we're the same flesh and being. We're brothers and sisters. Yeah. We're the same being. And if we get together and treat each other like that on the everyday scale, what a wonderful world this will be, like the song says.
It's coming.
You don't see any differences in anybody. You know, we're all the same, just seeing from different places. And I used to see from here and here. It's...
Yep.
Yeah. I smile and say hello to people and tell them I love them. And people thought I was weird and call me a weirdo, sissy, and queer and all this stuff. And I stopped doing it because they were shaming me. And later on in life, I was like, you know what? Hell with you, what you think of me. Because like when Dara says, don't be elated by the, good things people will say about you.
Good opinions. Yeah.
Others. Yeah.
So, that's one of the codependency
issues. He has a CD and he says, if they shame you because of this, do it anyway. If you make money and they don't like it, make money anyway. He goes through this whole deal. Do it anyway. I want to be me. I want me to show up. God wants me to show up.
Yes. You know, I was listening to this lady the other day. I know I should go on, but this lady, she's so fantastic. But she starts her video out and she's just like completely in a bliss, right? And it's like, oh my gosh. Oh, she seems cuckoo. But then she went on and it was just fantastic. She was deep and she talked about the oneness, but she was in Sicily and she was just heaven on earth with God. And she just seemed loopy. And I remember David R. Hawkins, the guy we like, who wrote Eye of the Eye and all those wonderful books. Anyway, he was like that because he got so head in the heavens and not enough feet on the ground, and he wasn't balanced, and so he seemed cuckoo, but he's brilliant. So I kept listening to this woman, and I'm telling you, she touched my heart in the biggest way. And sometimes we can seem a little bit so joyful. I realized later on, oh my gosh, it was the joy of the Lord that was on that woman, and she couldn't contain it. And and so she seemed kind of nutso, but she was not nuts. Oh my goodness, no, she was so on and just in love with God and love with life and too much over the top and joy. So we have to learn how to not judge people when they're like that.
Definitely. One of my gurus says, if you actually stop and don't judge the seemingly crazy person, if you sit down with them, you'll grow fivefold.
Here you go. Oh, I believe
that. Yeah, you'll learn so much more than you, because they are, like you're saying, like they're so full of spirit, the body cannot contain it.
That's
they are your teachers. And of course, not like the crazy who's going to hurt you and beat you down, but like the crazy love with the... So I feel like society call these people all these names because they're jealous and they feel like... Another quote, I don't remember all the specifics, but when Dara, he was talking about some guy who was saying that I am God, and everyone get offended. And he says, yeah, the difference is you are too, but you don't believe it or you don't know it. And all these people, they were calling someone crazy or cuckoo or get away from that person. They talk a lot. They say all this stuff. Like, I'm sure, like, you're talking and my mouth is open. I'm at awe. But a lot of people who are so biased or closed-minded, you probably cuckoo, stay away from them. They're going to do all this stuff because they feel that, of course, even when Dara would say, like, what's in you? Like, if you're an orange, you give orange juice, because they are stifling themselves so much that they want to stifle you back. And they were like, oh, shut up, I don't want to hear and all this stuff. But if they were even willing to hear you, hearing someone or talking to them doesn't mean that you're going to have to do what they do. You just have an open mind and you make your own choice. But I feel like they feel like if they hear you, because they feel like they don't have any sense of self-control, that they're going to have to do what you do. Just like when they say, don't talk to an apostate. Because if you talk to an apostate, you're going to do what they do. What happened to your choice? Like you have no choice of your own?
That's right. It threatens their infrastructure. A lot of times when we talk to Christians or different people, we'll say something esoteric or maybe what did Jesus mean about this? And they've never heard it and it threatens their infrastructure. So right away they go, nope. You know, there's something wrong with these. They're not of the same mind as us, you know?
But anyway, we enjoy this very much. And thank you for this time.
Thank you.
You're a good guy. You're a very good man.
Any way we can support you. You know, keep up the good work because this is the work that's needed for us to talk to each other. And, you know, and we find out, like you said, we're all the same. Yeah. Just different places in our head, you know.
Yeah, we're all part of the body, right? We just have fingers, toes. They all don't act the same, but we need to accept them all, you know.
Right. So, I've accepted my. I love Wayne Dyer. He said, "Don't die with the music inside you." Right? His daughter wrote that. And as of 2020, I was like, you know what? I've been told to shut up too much, and I'm just gonna express myself. And I had people coming to me on the subway telling me their whole life. And at the end of it, because I listen and I don't judge them, I don't give them advice, I just listen and ask questions. And they're like, you know what, you're godsend because I was going to take this street and I did this and I wasn't going to be there. And I asked myself, why did I miss my stop and all this stuff? And I used to reject that. I was like, why are all these people coming to me? And another reason why it was bad because someone told me I'm an empath. Because I was taking all their stuff and I was getting sick in my stomach. Like I was getting sick because they would put all this stuff, but then I was taking it. And I learned the skill that I don't need to take it. I can still be that same person and leave it either in that space or they can take it. But I think what they do is we're taking it. They were leaving in a space and I was codependent and I was taking it for my own. And I didn't need to do that because they leave. Yeah, they leave like relieved. And I said, oh, you are God sent. Thank you. And I would reject that. And as of 2020, I was like, you know what? This is a song that keeps happening in my life. So let me stop rejecting it. Let me now reaching out to people to hear their story and have a dialogue and feel good. And I don't need to have like, because I've, as of October, I'm in season 2 now because I'm done doing like 50 episodes. I was like, wow, like I hear so much things and it's not affecting me.
Yay.
So it's like good practice and I'm grateful for that.
That's awesome. Yay. And you've crossed over, you know, you've moved into acceptance. Acceptance is a very powerful attractor field. And when you're operating like Eckhart Tolle, if you know his story, he used to sit on benches and people would talk to him. And because he was non-judgmental, because he didn't have this, I'm judging you. He just said, tell me, it's not going to affect me. They said it went right through them and it actually left the person and they were healed. They would say, what did you just do to me? All he did was accept them, just allow it to pass through. So this energy that they had, which he thought they were going to judge and tell you were wrong. He just went and he allowed it to go through him. And he had tapes on this. It was advanced acceptance. Hawkins says it's an attractor field of like 400. But people would show up one after another at bus stops and goes, what the hell did you just do to me? And there was no resistance. So when you're saying this now, that you're actually got that gift where you can hear and you can smile and you can grace. And you can understand, oh, they're there, or they're there. And you're not saying you're there or you're there. You're just saying they're just sharing from the place where they're at. You're non-judgmental. So that is a quantum leap. And those are the healers in the world. Those are in the 500s, people that can operate without judgment, that love because love is the thing to do, that understands because there's nothing but understanding. And when you can see without judgment, Jesus said, I didn't come to judge. You're operating with the Christ mind and you're actually becoming like the father and the prodigal son who can allow one to stay home, one to go away, one to fall short, one to do this. And it doesn't bother you at all. You just say, God bless you all. And that's where you're operating from.
Yes. You got to check out Eckhart Tolle. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. You're just like him.
Someone else told me about that name. Yeah.
Oh yeah. He's a beautiful person.
He has kind of a strange voice, but that's what makes him stand out. But he's an incredible guy. The story is that his dad, I think he was either a lawyer or a doctor. I think it was a doctor, and he wanted Eckhart to go to school and become a doctor. And Eckhart was just getting ready to go start college. And then he's like, you know what? I can't do this. I just can't do this. This is not me. And I know my brothers and what I don't care. I'm not doing this family business. I'm not doing it. And he just literally turned around and went back the other way, kind of like a Wayne Dyer story, you know? And they to this day say loser Eckhart Tolle. Well,
he's a freak.
He's well known all around the world. Probably, you know, made some pretty.
He spoke on Oprah, you know?
Yes. I mean, he has done so much work, so many books, so many YouTube videos, so much work. He's an incredible man. And yet he says, if you want to know how well you've grown, how much you've grown in a year, go visit your family. And because they always tell you that you're stupid and you piece of shit, and you're always going to be a piece of shit and you're stupid. And you know, you're always going to be stupid, stupid, stupid Tolle. And he's like, you see, how does that affect me now? It's like, well, did it make me feel really bad, or is water off the duck's back? You know, so he said that's a good way to test it. But anyway, he's an incredible guy. And I love that man. And you know, he's had some little flaky years where I didn't like him too much, but for the most part, he saved Dan and I through the 2008, 2009 crash. We listened to him almost exclusively because he had everything to say to calm you down. And nowadays, he is just right on the money. I just think he's an incredible man. And I'm really
from impressed. An academia standpoint, his dad's like, I raised a freak. He sits around on benches and talks to people. anyway.
He's a good man.
We better hate.
Yeah, right. You better go. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you so much again. And thank you so much again.
All right. Thank you.
Well, thank you. It was a lot of fun. You're doing a great work.
Yes. Keep it up, man. It's great.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.